If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude, second to the last book in the Bible. Book of Jude only has one chapter, just before the book of Revelation. Book of Jude, and I'll begin in verse 20. And let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll read down to verse 25. And everyone found it? Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Now, I want to call your attention to verse 22. Let's read it together. Verse 22. Ready? And of some have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. I want to preach tonight on making a difference for the glory of God. Amen? Making a difference for the glory of God. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we just thank you once again for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity here tonight. And Father, thank you for this church and their faithfulness in getting out the gospel here and around the world. And thank you for Brother Angel and his stand that he's taken. And Father, I just pray now you'll bless in the service in a special way. Bless the preaching of your word. And Father, I pray that you would use me to be a help and a blessing to your people today. And Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts this evening and bring conviction and help us to be edified, help us to be strengthened, help us to be better Christians when we leave than when we came. And Father, I just pray that you'll, many decisions will be made for Christ, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Making a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a story that I'm going to tell. Some of you may have heard this story, but like Paul Harvey used to say, you haven't heard the rest of the story. Amen. But in 1854, there was a man from Boston, Massachusetts, who was a Sunday school teacher, and his name was Edward Kimball. How many of you ever heard of Edward Kimball? Okay, a lot of you. Good. Nothing really special about Edward Kimball, just a common, ordinary man teaching a Sunday school class. But at one point in time in his life, he decided that he was going to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ in his Sunday school class. He decided he would go to each boy in his Sunday school class and personally lead them to Christ. And that's what he did. One of the boys that worked in a shoe store, he went to the shoe store where he worked and led him to Christ there in that shoe store. And that boy's name, by the way, was D.L. Moody. How many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody? Okay, we've all heard of D.L. Moody, right? Of course, D.L. Moody eventually left that shoe store to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists of all time. And just millions probably came to know Christ as their Savior under his ministry. And it has been said that D.L. Moody took America in one hand, took England in the other hand, and brought them both closer to God. And just a great man of God. And one time when Moody was in England, he was preaching in a little church there, pastored by a young man by the name of F.B. Meyer. Anyone ever heard of F.B. Meyer? Okay, another great man of God. But D.L. Moody was there preaching in his church, and he told that story as he was preaching about how Edward Kimball had led all the Sunday school boys to Christ and how he led him to Christ in the shoe store. And that message changed F.B. Meyer's life, his ministry, and it inspired him to become an evangelist like D.L. Moody. And he had a great ministry, and he eventually came to America and held meetings in America. And one time when he was in Massachusetts, Northfield, Massachusetts, he was preaching in a meeting there, and there was another young man in the audience by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. You've heard of J. Wilbur Chapman? Okay. But he heard F.B. Meyer preaching, and he said something like this: if you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, then are you willing to be made willing? That remark, that challenge led J. Wilbur Chapman to respond to the call of God on his life. And Chapman went on to become one of the most effective evangelists of his time. I mean, he had a great crusades across America. And again, thousands came to know Christ as a Savior. And he would have a lot of volunteers who would help him set up the meetings and set up for the crusades and invite people to come. And one of the volunteers that was with him was a former professional baseball player and a converted alcoholic by the name of Billy Sunday. Okay, we've all heard of Billy Sunday, right? That's actually where Billy Sunday learned how to preach, under the ministry of J. Wilbur Chapman. And of course, he eventually took over Chapman's ministry, and he became one of the most dynamic evangelists of his time there in the early 1900s. I mean, Billy Sunday's preaching brought thousands, maybe even millions, to Christ as well. And we've heard of his crusades. And in 1924, Billy Sunday held a crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as a result of that crusade, a group of Christians dedicated themselves to reaching their city for Christ there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this group of Christians invited another evangelist to come by the name of Mordecai Ham. Anyone heard of Mordecai Ham? Okay. Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina in 1932, held a crusade there. And during the crusade, there was a group of teenagers attending the meeting. They didn't really come to listen. They just kind of came to cause trouble, you know, like some of them teenagers do. But there was one of the teenagers, a 16-year-old boy, who came under conviction under the preaching of Mordecai Ham. And so he came back the next night, got under conviction again. He came back the final night, walked the aisle, knelt down and received Christ as a Savior that night. And that 16-year-old boy's name was Billy Graham. Okay? We've all heard of Billy Graham, right? I think he just celebrated his 95th birthday here recently. And I remember hearing Billy Graham on television during the 1970s. And how he preached a clear presentation of God. Now, I don't agree with everything he's done or all the things he's doing and what he says. But somebody has said that Billy Graham has communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in history. And but you know what? It all started with Edward Kimball. Amen? Who decided, I'm going to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to challenge us tonight for you to make that decision tonight. You know what? We need some men and women who will make a difference. Amen? We need some Christians. We have enough of these worldly Christians. We have enough of these average Christians. We need some Christians who will make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I remember deciding years ago that I didn't just want to be an average Christian. I didn't just want to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else run the race. I didn't just want to live an average life, but I wanted my life to count for God. I wanted my life to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want to challenge you to do that tonight. And here in the book of Jude, it tells us how we can make a difference. And I want us to look at a few things here in the book of Jude. If you take your Bibles and we'll look at a few verses here in the book of Jude. How we can make a difference for the glory of God. In Jude, there in verse 1, we'll begin with verse 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now here Jude is just giving his introduction here, and he's addressing the believers. And I want you to notice how he addresses the believers here. He says, to them that are sanctified by God. Every believer is sanctified by God. Amen. Set apart unto God. Amen. We're passed from death unto life. We're no more part of this world. We're part of the family of God. Amen. We're set apart unto God and preserved in Jesus Christ. I love that. Amen. If you're a believer in Christ tonight, if you're a true born-again believer, you are preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your salvation is in His hands. Amen. And you're not going to lose it. Amen. Because it's in His hands. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. He said in verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. Thank God he's able to keep us from falling. You know, I've met a lot of Christians who have a problem with this, though, especially in Nigeria. You know, there's a lot of churches in Nigeria. There's a lot of religion, especially in the southern part of Nigeria. And, you know, they know all the right terminology. Oh, yes, Pastor, I have been born again. I have been saved. I have given my life to Christ. And, you know, they know all the right things to say. But then you dig a little bit deeper and say, well, let me ask you this. If you died right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Then you kind of hesitate a little bit. Well, I can't really say I'm 100%, but I'm about 90% sure. I think I have a good chance. You know, well, okay, that's good, but there's only one problem with that. That means there's about 10% chance you're going to die and go to hell. I don't know about you, but I don't even want there to be 1% chance I'm going to die and go to hell. Amen. But I found out there's a lot of Christians like that. They have a problem. They have some doubts about their salvation. And listen, you're not going to go forward in your Christian life. You're not really going to make a difference for the glory of God unless you get this issue of salvation settled. Amen. You've got to realize tonight that you are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. How can you tell other people how to be saved? How can you tell them about Christ if you're not even sure about your own salvation? So Judah's saying, if you're going to make a difference, make sure you're preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're a true believer tonight, you are preserved. You're in His hands. Amen. I thank God for that, that my salvation is not in my hands. It slipped right through my fingers in the first 5 minutes. It was in my own hands. But it's in His hands. Amen. We are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Jude said, I was going to write to you about the common salvation, how we're saved by grace, not by works. I was going to write to you about how we've been born again, how we've been redeemed by the blood, how we've been washed in the blood. The Holy Spirit stopped me and said, no, I want you to write and exhort them that they should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You see, the Holy Spirit looked down through time and he knew that the false teachers would creep into the church. Amen. He knew that the false doctrine would get into the church unawares and started changing things. Amen. We're living in those days right now, aren't we? We're living in these days of change. And have you noticed how our culture is crying out for change? I mean, politically, religiously, socially, technologically. I mean, if you don't have the latest iPhone, you're nothing. Amen. I mean, a new one will come out probably next month. And we have to get that one, you know. And we're living in things are changing so fast. And we live in a world that is thirsty for change, aren't we? And in fact, our present administration, I mean, that's what they ran on. I mean, hope and change. And they've done that. They've fundamentally changed America. You know, how's that working out, by the way? Anyway, but we're living in days of change. And churches are changing. And our country's changing. And pastors are changing. And people are changing. Well, I want to tell you something. Truth doesn't change. Amen? The old King James Bible doesn't change. Amen? And as God's people, we will never make a difference by changing and compromising with the world. We will only make a difference by earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. We'll only make a difference by standing strong in the old time religion. Amen. That's how we make a difference. I get so frustrated by these Christians who want to try to compromise. Oh, we have to, you know, be like the world so we can win the world. No, you won't make a difference that way. You only make a difference by earnestly contending for the faith, by standing strong in the old-time religion. Amen? That's how we make a difference. By standing up for Jesus. Amen? Stand up for Jesus. Years ago, there was a famous atheist who traveled across the country and a very well-known speaker and a very famous, eloquent speaker. And a lot of people would come to hear him. I think it was in Chicago one time. He was up here and had this great auditorium. The balcony was, I mean, the place was just filled with people to come and hear this famous speaker. He was an atheist, and he would tell the people, you know, you're a fool if you believe in God. There's no such thing as a God. And in fact, I challenge God in the next 10 minutes to strike me dead and prove that He exists. And he would go on and on. And of course, you know, 10 minutes went by, nothing happened. And thank God we don't have a God that goes around killing people just because they ask Him to. Amen. You could tell He had the people right in His hands. I mean, He would just, the people were just in tune to what he was saying, and he was persuading them. And as he was speaking, all of a sudden, a little teenage girl in the balcony stood up and began to sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Everybody was looking around, what's going on? Pretty soon, other people began to stand up and started joining in with her. Other people, pretty soon the whole balcony was on their feet, singing, stand up for Jesus. People on the bottom floor began to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And everyone was, all four, they were just singing away. And all of a sudden they looked around and said, they noticed the atheist was gone. What happened to the atheist? Well, he was gone as soon as the girl stood up. Amen. He was out of there. Amen. Why? Because someone decided, I'm going to make a difference. Listen, if you've been saved for any length of time, you're going to be called upon to take your stand for Christ. Amen. It might be at your job. It might be in your school. It might be in your family. But you're going to be called upon to take your stand for Christ, to make a difference for Christ. Amen. Years ago, now in our city, it's been peaceful most of the time we've been there. But in 2007, our city was going through some turmoil, and the militant groups were coming in and they were trying to take over the city. And you'd hear gunshots, and I mean, we were deciding, well, maybe it's time for us to leave here. Things are getting, you know, kind of bad here. Other missionaries had left for one reason or the other, and we thought, well, maybe it's time for us to leave too. And but you know what? God was blessing. People were getting saved. You know, I just don't think God wants us to go there. I think that we ought to stay here and just take our stand for Christ. And it was getting worse and worse. They eventually called in the military to flush out these militant groups, and they declared martial law for 2 weeks. And they had a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. curfew. And you weren't allowed after the curfew. If they caught you out after the curfew, they made you sleep on the ground all night. In the morning, they'd let you go. So we had to make some changes because of the curfew, but we just kept on going. Amen? And it was like a war zone there for 2 weeks. But fortunately, no, nothing ever bad happened around where we were at, our church was at. But it was getting pretty bad there. But I remember one Saturday night, we were out soul winning. You know, had to go a little earlier than we normally do because of the curfew. But as we were coming back after men's soul winning, I was driving the van. There was a man, my two boys were with me. Two of our oldest boys were with me. And we got stuck in a bad traffic jam. I mean, everybody was trying to rush back before the curfew. And I mean, it just got a big bottleneck. I mean, we were stuck there for about an hour. It was getting very close to 7 o'clock. And so we were rushing. We finally broke away from that traffic jam, and we rushing back to the church. We got about a block away from the church. It was about 1 minute to 7. And there were two soldiers with guns standing in the road, making people stop their cars and getting out of the cars. I said, oh, no, I'm not going to sleep on the ground all night. There's church tomorrow. I've got to be back. I've got to preach tomorrow. So I stopped the van. I got out. I tried to talk to the soldiers. You know, I'm a missionary, and, you know, we got caught in this traffic jam. But unfortunately, it was a Muslim soldier. And before I can even say anything, he took his gun and he hit me with his gun, drug me out of the van, began beating me, kicking me, and I don't know what happened. Then he threw me in the ditch, had a gun pointed right at my head. I thought, well, this is it. I'm coming home, you know. And after a while, we were there, and he did. After about an hour, he let us go. Well, that's good. We don't have to sleep here on the ground all night. But we got back to the church. I got cleaned up and tried to. Sunday the next day, I preached the best I could. And God blessed in the service. The people were saved again. But when our people found out about that, they were very upset. A group of our men, the next morning, on Monday morning, went to the commanding officer and said, this is what your soldiers are doing. They're beating up missionaries. This is not good. And when he found out, he said, you're right, that's not good. We've got to find this guy. So they went out, they found the guy. They identified him. They drug him to the church. They court-martialed him. They apologized. They made him apologize. So this is not good. He was out of line. He was not even supposed to be there. And we're going to court-martial him. He's gone. So as they were leaving, the Muslim guy turned to me and said, Pastor, I'm very sorry. Please pray for me. And I probably could have led him to Christ right there. But he was gone. I never saw him again after that. But you know what? God just took us to the next level right after that. I mean, why? Because I believe that we've decided to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never make a difference if you're not willing to take your stand for Christ. Amen? That's how we make a difference. By earnestly contending for the faith. Not compromising. Not giving up. Not quitting. We'll never make a difference. Quitters will never make a difference. Amen? Compromisers will never make a difference for the glory of God. We'll only make a difference by standing up for Jesus, by earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's basically what the whole book of Jude is about. And he goes on to say in verse 20, skip down to verse 20, says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, if we're going to make a difference for Christ, we've got to be constantly building up ourselves on our most holy faith. How many times have we heard of Christians who, you know, get saved, they get, you know, on fire for God, they begin to be faithful, and they get involved and everything. All of a sudden, after a while, they kind of, you know, fizzle out and fall by the wayside. What happened? Well, they stop building up themselves on their most holy thing. All of us need that. I mean, every day we've got to be building up ourselves on our most holy. We can't afford to just coast along in the Christian life. Amen. We've got to be better Christians this year than we were last year. Amen. We've got to be like the song says in our hymn books. I'm pressing on the upward way. Amen. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Every day we've got to be building up ourselves on our most holy faith. How do we do that? How do we build up our faith? Well, the Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says every time you come to hear the preaching of the Word of God, what does that do for you? That increases your faith. That builds you up on your most holy faith. That's why it's so important to be here every time these doors open. I know sometimes the weather prevents us from doing that, but listen, I made a decision many years ago. When it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I don't have to think about it. I'm going to be here. Amen. Because I want God to build me up. I want my faith to increase. Amen. Because I want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, how do we make a difference? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Then what's the next word? Praying. We're not going to make a difference if we're not men and women of prayer. It's just not going to happen. Instead of just having a prayer time, we need to have a prayer life. Prayer is that makes a difference. There's so many wonderful verses in the Bible that talk about prayer. The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Why don't you take God up on that? Amen. God says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. That's how we make a difference. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led men and women of God. No Christian has ever made a difference without being Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Amen. That's how we make a difference. We've got to be walking in the Spirit daily. The Bible says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why do so many Christians wash out? Why do so many Christians become castaways? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're just not walking, and they're not making a difference. They're not going to make a difference. We've got, I guarantee, if you show me a Spirit-filled, praying Christian who's building up himself on his most holy faith, I'll show you somebody who's making a difference for the glory of God. Amen? That's how we make a difference. Then we come to verse 22. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Right there it is. How do we make a difference? Compassion makes a difference. Amen? That makes all the difference. I mean, you can preach the truth, and we, by the way, we should never compromise the truth. We should never water down the truth. But maybe we ought to do like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, says, speaking the truth in love. Maybe that'll make a difference. If people know you care about them, maybe they'll begin to listen to what we have to say. Amen? They see that love of God manifested in us. That's what makes a difference. And Paul said, you know, we can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and we can have the faith that can move mountains, but have not charity or a love that is manifested through us, we're nothing. We're nothing. Compassion makes a difference. That's what missions is all about, by the way. Caring enough for those people in Nigeria to go get the gospel to them. And supporting missionaries if you can't go in their place. That's what it's all about. That's what compassion is all about. Compassion that makes a difference. That's how we make a difference. And he goes on to say in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I love that. Pulling them out of the fire. That's what we're doing in Nigeria, amen? We're pulling those people out of the fire. That's what you're doing right here in Bourbon, Illinois. You're pulling them out of the fire, amen? That's what soul winning is all about. That's what the Christian life is all about. Pulling people out of the fire, amen? Listen, somebody sacrificed, somebody paid a price to pull you out of the fire, amen? What are you doing to pull others out of the fire? How many people have you pulled out of the fire? If you saw your neighbor house on fire and you knew they were in there, what would you do? Just, you know, let them sleep? Well, I don't want to offend them, you know. I don't want to knock on the door, wake them up. They might get offended. You wouldn't do that. You do everything you can to get them out, to pull them out of the fire. I think I heard in the news the other day about a little 5-year-old boy who sacrificed his life to save his parents in a trailer fire, pull them out of the fire. He ended up dying, but he saved his family's life, pulling them out of the fire. I want to tell you something. There's a fire that's just as real and even worse, where millions are. The Bible says, Jesus said that he that believeth not is he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. He says, look around you. Most people are on their way to hell right now. They're already condemned. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Did you hear what he said? He said, most people are on the broad way that leads to hellfire. We've got to do everything we can to pull them out. That's how we make a difference. That's what Everett Kimball did. That's how he made a difference. He said, I'm going to make sure that every boy in my Sunday school class knows they're saved. Amen? He personally led them to Christ. He made a difference. Amen? You know something? I'd love to be Edward Kimball at the judgment seat of Christ. Wouldn't you? I'd love to be him. He made a difference. By the way, all it takes is one person to make a difference. One time there was a man on vacation. He was walking along the beach. And he looked off in the distance. He saw somebody bending down and throwing things in the water. Bending down, throwing things in the water. He said, what's he doing? And he noticed that there was a lot of starfish that was the tide had washed up on the beach. He got a little bit closer. He noticed that that boy was picking up the starfish and throwing them back in the water. Picking up all the starfish and throwing them back in the water. He says, what is he doing? I'm going to teach that boy a lesson. He walked up to the boy and said, you know what? I think your heart's in the right place. I think, you know, it's a nice thing you're doing here, but you realize how many miles of beach there are here and how many thousands of starfish are dying every day along the beach? Surely such a kind-hearted and industrious boy like yourself can find something better to do with your time. Do you really think you're making a difference? The boy was listening politely, looked down at the starfish, he picked another one up and looked at it, threw that one back in the water. He looked up at the man and said, you know what? I think it made a difference in that one's life. Now, you may not be a Billy Sunday or a D.L. Moody and reach thousands or even millions for Christ, but there's somebody that you can pull out of the fire. Amen? You can make a difference in somebody's life. What are you doing for Christ? Oh, by the way, let me tell you the rest of the story. And I'll close with this. In 1972, there was a 12-year-old girl in Mansfield, Ohio, was watching a Billy Graham telecast. Her mother was there also watching the... They were both Catholic. And they watched the telecast, and then the invitation time came. He invited everyone in the television audience to bow, get on their knees and by the television and receive Christ as their Savior. So both of them got on their knees and received Christ as their Savior that night. A few weeks later, they were invited to go to an independent Baptist church. They began attending every week to the independent Baptist church. The father, he didn't like it. He was Catholic, and he gave him a hard time. Every week, he'd give him a hard time. Why are you going to that church? You're Catholic. You shouldn't be going to that church. But they kept on going every week. Finally, one Sunday morning, they got up, and they noticed he was getting ready, and he was getting dressed. And he began to follow him out the door, go to church. What are you doing? So I'm going to go to that church and find out what you got down there. So he went with him to church that day. And during the invitation time, he walked the aisle, and he got saved that Sunday. Amen. 2 weeks later, he got baptized. He began attending every week, faithfully, every Sunday. In fact, he was so faithful, they made him a bus captain in the church. In fact, his bus route became the biggest bus route in the whole church. He brought more boys and girls than any other bus route in the whole church for many, many years. And one of the bus riders was a little boy that had been coming since he was 9 years old. And he got saved as a 10-year-old boy, and every week they'd pick him up. I mean, he rode that bus till he was 18 years old, until he graduated from high school. And then he responded to the call of God on his life. He went off to Bible college, and he surrendered to the mission field. The 12-year-old girl, his daughter, also went off to Bible college. She surrendered to the mission field as well. Now, they went to different Bible colleges, but one summer they came home, they met each other. They had always known each other, of course, but they had always been friends, but they kind of became more friends. And they fell in love with each other, and they eventually got married. And God called them to go to Nigeria, West Africa. They went off to Nigeria, West Africa. God used them and their ministry in 20 years to reach over 125,000 souls to Christ. You probably figured out who it was by now, right? That 12-year-old girl is my wife sitting right over there. I was the bus kid they picked up every week. Amen. You see, Edward Kimball is still reaping the benefits. Amen. When he decided, I'm going to make a difference. I may not be do much, but I can make sure every boy in my Sunday school class knows Christ as their Savior. Amen. What are you doing for Christ? Are you making a difference for the glory of God? Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. Every head bowed. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. The musicians are coming to play. Verse of invitation. And right now, if God's speaking to your heart right now, why don't you come out of your seat and just kneel down here and say, God, I want you to have your way in my life. I want to make a difference for the glory of God. Would you do that tonight? Would you let God have His way in your life tonight? Would you come and join these others and say, I want my life to make a difference. In the year 2014, I want my life to make a difference for the glory of God. Would you come tonight? As the music plays, would you come?